अजन्ते मां जनासुक्ततनुर्जुना आरथो जिज्ञासुरार्थारथी ज्ञानी च भरतार्षभा। O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. We are reading this evening from the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is the source and the basis of all knowledge. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat puranitam. The only true religion is that which is spoken by Krishna. To understand the truth is not a matter of our own sentiments. To understand the truth means to accept the word of Krishna. It is said throughout the revealed scriptures that by simply surrendering to Krishna, we can be relieved of all of the sufferings of material existence. There are three basic forms in which every conditioned soul must suffer within this creation. Ariyatmaka, Aribhautaka, and Aridaivaka. Miseries caused by our own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural phenomena. Human society has created such a vast, vast civilization to try to solve the problems created by these threefold miseries. But despite so many grand achievements, still human society is in a suffering condition. Srila Prabhupada used so many beautiful examples of how through modern technology and science, in the process of trying to solve problems, they make the problems worse. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York City, I remember, he was explaining how it was such a problem to get from one part of the city to another by walking long distances. So man used his intelligent brain to create the motor car. But then everyone got motor car. Guru Maharaj explained that just to go a few blocks, he has experienced, sometimes it takes 4 hours. You can walk the same thing in 5 minutes. There's so much pollution. People are dying of cancerous diseases. And people are so agitated because of the traffic congestion that sometimes they beat, they blaspheme and even kill each other. And what to speak of people crashing and dying. And people working so hard just to pay for gas, for petrol, and for their bank loans, for their motor car. So many complications. And then he explained it became so congested that they decided to make subway. There was no longer any room on the surface of the earth to get from one place to another. So they began to build trains underground. Hellish condition. Dark. And in these subways, people began to travel. This was considered great, great stride forward toward solving the problems of life. But then underground it creates Sanchay Tamigun mentality that there's so much crime and rape and killings that even the police are afraid to go under the ground in the subways. And there was no room on the surface of the earth in the roads. So many people started going in the subways. And the subways became so crowded that if you go to New York City, Srila Prabhupada was witnessing that people are crushed, like the Indian trains, you know? Even more. Even more. They're just crushed together. Miserable situation. And while they're being crushed together, people are picking their pockets and stealing all their hard-earned money. So Srila Prabhupada's observation is, this is modern civilization. So then there was no room on the roads, and there was no room underground, so they invented airplanes. And these airplanes were very nice. They don't fly across the city, but they fly across countries. They were thinking, this is very, very nice. But then the enemies, enemy countries began to create airplanes. And Srila Prabhupada said, then they could attack you without even having any interference. They could come before, they had to fight through so many armies to get to your land. Now they could just fly right to your country and drop their bombs. So then they had to create radar. Just to somehow or other detect them in case they want to fly our problem-solving airplanes by dropping bombs. And bombs themselves. At one time, man was fighting with his fists. At the time of the Battle of Kurukshetra, bows and arrows. Clubs. But there was a problem. Bows and arrows don't go fast enough, so they created guns, bullets. But they can only kill a few people at a time. So they created bombs. This will solve the problem. This will bring peace on earth. We have the bombs, so nobody will come and disturb us. But then everyone built bombs. And everyone's disturbing each other. And there's nuclear race, who can have the best, biggest bombs. So another problem. So then they created the United Nations. Because we have all this technology to kill each other, let's try to get together to try to solve the problem of destroying the earth. But nobody listens to the United Nations. They'll listen only as long as they can be victorious. So many problems. And all of these problems have been created through the process of solving problems. But Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva dharman paritya ja mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva bhapivya moksha ishavsi masu chaha, that you just surrender to me and I will solve all your problems. So why people don't surrender to Krishna? So easy. Janma mritya charo vyadi dukha dosha nudarshanam. A wise man knows the real problems are birth, old age, disease and death. We were discussing one time a mystic yogi who was a magician came to Srila Prabhupada and was performing so many wonderful, wonderful magical tricks. We have seen such people. They actually have powers. Some people, they can trick your eyes by doing something so fast. When some people actually have the powers to manipulate material energy and do these. What foolish people call miracles. But what is a miracle? Miracle means you just don't know how to do it. If you go to somebody from the jungles who has never seen modern technology and you take a cigarette lighter and go ch and make fire, he will think a miracle. What to speak if you bring one of these laptop computers and they look in the screen and they see all these fantastic designs, they would think, this is a miracle. How can you put all these pictures in a little box moving around? But for us it's not a miracle because we know how it works. For myself, I don't even know how it works, but still I know it's not a miracle. So these mystic yogis, they could perform these tricks and it appears a miracle to foolish. But for intelligent people, they know it is just an art that we do not practice. So modern technology is like that. This mystic yogi was performing these tricks and Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, I have seen you make so many things appear and so many things disappear. Can you perform the miracle of making death disappear? Swamiji, I cannot do that. So Srila Prabhupada said, well, I can, so I am a better magician than you. By chanting the names of God, by surrendering to Krishna, we can stop death. So why, when we simply surrender to Krishna, we can solve the problems of life gradually, people do not surrender to Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita explains, Namam duskriti nora mudha prapadyante naradama maya payutam jnanam asuram bhavam ashritaha. There are four types of people who simply cannot surrender to Krishna. There is the mudha, one who is foolish like ass, who works so hard work so hard under the illusion that whatever I can get is mine to enjoy. And doesn't realize that he's putting himself in such material bondage and karmic conditions. Like the camel that chews the thorns and bleeds and drinks his own blood and thinks that this is very enjoyable. Or like the ass that takes the big, big burdens upon his back and works so hard just to get little grass. And then he goes home to enjoy the pleasures of sex and becomes kicked again and again. Although people are suffering terribly in so many circumstances of this world, they're still working so hard for the very things that cause them suffering. This is called mudha. They're so attached to this illusion that they are not willing to even take the time to hear the message of God. And then there is the Naradhama. People who take this human form of life after transmigrating through 8,400,000 species. Human life is meant for self-realization. But they are so busy in their plan-making to solve the problems of the world that they don't have time to solve the problems. In Bombay, how many people tonight are at the cinemas? How many people at night are sitting home watching their televisions? How many people are out at restaurants eating all sorts of karmic foods? How many people tonight are shopping for all various forms of sense enjoyment? How many people are just working late in their offices to get a little more money and prestige? How many? How many people are in Bombay?
16 million.
How many are in this room?
160.
Huh? 200. So that means about 15 million and 15,999,000 and 800. That's how many people are practicing the principles of Naradhama in the city of Bombay. Excuse me for my very slow mathematical ability. But they just don't have time to hear the message of God and learn the process of solving their problems, surrendering to Krishna. And therefore they waste their lives. And at the time of death, the very, very pitiable condition that a human life has been utterly wasted. And then there is the third class of people who simply will not accept the simple process of Krishna consciousness. Maya Parita Jnanam. That means people who are very, very brilliant with their intelligence, but it is all stolen by illusion. Sometimes they have BAs, MAs, PhDs, BS, whatever, so many things. Big, big scientists, big, big philosophers, industrialists. But all of their conclusions are based on the misconception that they are this body. Or even philosophers, they study the Gita and the various scriptures, but they speculate and interpret it according to their own illusioned intelligence. In every page of Gita, Krishna is declaring that He is the Supreme Truth and we should surrender to Him. But yet big famous philosophers, they lecture on the Gita all their life and they never come to the conclusion that we should surrender to Krishna. And they mislead so many unfortunate people in the wrong conclusions. And the next class is Asuram Bhavam Ashrita, people who are openly antagonistic to God and atheistic. But in this verse that we are reading today, Krishna explains that there are four kinds of pious men who come to the path of devotional service. Sukritino means pious people. Such pious people who are actually inclined to follow the regulative principles of the scriptures. They approach God. When such a person is in distress, due to his piety, he turns to God for relief of distress. Do not think that it is the distress that makes people turn to God. Because most people in distress do not turn to God. They turn to the doctor, or to the government, or to the psychiatrist, or to their own mind, or to their wives or husbands, or they work harder. In this way, they turn to so many things in their distress. But they do not understand that ultimately, only Krishna could relieve our distress. Guru Maharaj would often use the example that sometimes people are very sick and two people with the identical disease will go to the same doctor and get the exact same cure and one will die and one will live. There are so many uncertainties in this world despite all our efforts. So therefore a pious person understands that ultimately only God could relieve my distress. Therefore such a person in such a distressful condition will go to the temple or the mosque or the church and pray to God, please help me. And the next type of person is that person who is pious and who is in a poverty-stricken condition. That person has basic faith in God, but the impetus for him to worship God is his suffering. Because after all, there are so many people who are suffering from poverty who do not turn to God. Srila Prabhupada used the example that in some of the very, very poor areas in the communist countries, people would be going to church saying, God, please give me bread, I am hungry. And the atheistic Communist Party would be waiting outside the church. Yeah, you prayed for bread, where is your bread? What is so great about this God? You prayed for bread, where is your bread? Ask us for bread. Just go ahead and try it. Pray, O Communist Party, give me bread. So they would say, O Communist Party, please, I pray, give me my bread. And then they would give them bread. And then the people would become atheists. Because it's more fruitful to pray to these men than to God. But because they are unintelligent, they do not ask, O Communist Party, where did you get your bread from? Did you create the earth in which the grains will grow? Did you create the rains and the sun which are necessary? The grains are coming from God. Everything is coming from God. So those who are in poverty, but who have some piety, some sukrita, they approach God in their poverty. And they pray, please kindly give me what I need. And the next person is jigyasu, the person who is inquisitive. Someone who has some observation of what is happening in the world, and they want to know, who am I? What is the purpose of life? Who is God? Or sometimes after being frustrated through so many material experiences, they seek out liberation. And even after frustration in that path, they ultimately, they want to know, who is Krishna? What is the real meaning of this apparently meaningless existence? And the last class is the jnani. In this sense, jnani means one who is sincerely seeking the absolute truth. One who is genuinely willing and ready to take to the path by which he can understand how to know and love God. So of these four classes, the first two are very materialistic. But because of their basic piety and willing to follow regulative principles, even in their desperation, that desperation brings them to the lotus feet of advanced devotees of the Lord. And by the association of the great sadhus, gradually they are purified of their material motivations. The wonderful example of this is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj came to sit on the throne of his father. And when he was crawling upon his father's leg, the other leg was his brother, his stepbrother. His stepmother chastised him that you have no right to sit on your father's throne unless you take birth from my womb, because you were born of an inferior woman. So this is the way of the world. Here is Dhruva. Dhruva is a prince. He's brought up in enormous wealth. His father was not just the king of a country, he was the king of the entire planet. He had all luxuries, so many servants, so many wonderful, wonderful facilities to enjoy, such a bright future. And he was also the eldest son. But whatever wonderful arrangements you have, material nature is so cruel that she will make you suffer. So poor Dhruva, he was so insulted. It was more painful than death. He ran to his mother with his lips trembling. He was speechless. He asked his mother, "I want my father's kingdom." The poor mother, she said, "Even though I am the senior queen, the other queen is very beautiful. Your father loves her, he does not love me." What she said is correct. Dhruva, he was so determined, due to suffering, he was in distress and he wanted the wealth of his father's kingdom. His mother said that only God could give you the fulfillment of your desire. Where could I find this God? I have heard that saintly people go to the forest to find God. So he left for the forest. And Srila Prabhupada explains that when he went to the forest, he was so anxious to find God that when he saw the tigers, he would just go right up to the tiger and say, "Where is God? I have come to find God." And when he did not find suitable answer, he would go to the deers. "Where is God? I have come to find God." He was going even to the trees and begging the trees to show him God. Because Krishna saw that he was genuinely pious and desperately seeking wealth in his distress, Krishna sent Sri Narada Muni. And Narada Muni approached Dhruva. And Dhruva asked him, "Please show me God." He said, what are you looking for God? You're just a small boy. Besides that, you're taking these insults too seriously. You should go home and be happy and play. Everything will be all right. But Dhruva wanted the kingdom of his father so bad. He insisted that if you want to help me, you must teach me the way to realize my desires. So Sri Narada Muni gave him an instruction. He told him to chant the holy names of the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Gives me time to think of the next. And he also explained he should go to holy place, Madhuban in Brajbhumi. And he should perform tapasya. So Dhruva went to Madhuban, and in the mood of tapasya, he completely focused his mind on the holy name of the Lord. Because he was following the instruction of a pure devotee, by that association, he became completely purified of all of his material desires. It is said in the Shastra, Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushapara. That whether you are full of all material desires, whether you have no material desires, or whether you are aspiring for liberation, if you approach Krishna, gradually you will come to the point of pure devotional service.
सारी इच्छाएं हो या वो मुक्ति की इच्छा हो, अगर वो कृष्ण के पास पहुंचता है तो धीरे धीरे शुद्ध हो जाए.
सो वी शुड नो एज लॉन्ग एज वी हैव material selfish motivations, we cannot approach Krishna with pure devotion. But for whatever reason, we approach Krishna through associating with his pure devotees. If we are pious and sincere, gradually we will certainly become purified of all of our selfish desires. But this is a dangerous path. Because the tendency is, if our material desires are not fulfilled as we expect, we will give up our devotion. Krishna, I was promised peace of mind. And my mind, after 6-7 years of chanting Hare Krishna, and after associating with devotees, my mind is agitated and disturbed. And I don't even love you. Therefore, I give up. This process doesn't work. And all this time, I could have made so much money. And all this time, I could have gotten so many nice college degrees. I could have eaten so much foods and gone to so many cinemas and watched so many television shows and danced at so many discos. Taken so many intoxications. I've been cheated. So now I have to make up for lost time. Just see God, I'll show you how much I can enjoy without you. People are like this. So that is a danger. But there's another danger. That God fulfills all your desires. And then you think, I don't need him anymore. Now I have everything. If I lose it again, I'll go to him. But as long as God fulfills, then he's happy that I'm happy. But if we actually have Sukritina, if we are actually pious, when God fulfills our desires, we increase our service in appreciation. And if He does not fulfill our desires, we understand that, yes, I'm in distress, but I deserve 10,000 times more distress. Krishna is giving me just a little for purification. Devotee never complains. Devotee always thanks Krishna. But if somehow or other we just stay within the association of great devotees, as Dhruva did, and just continue to follow their instructions, gradually this artha and artharati, these material ambitions are cleansed. They are purified from our heart. And gradually, through the association and blessings of the great souls, we come to the platform of pure devotional service. Because Dhruva Maharaj was so determined to follow the instructions of a great devotee of the Lord, even though he had material ambitions, that association and that blessing of that devotee cleansed him of everything. And ultimately he had the direct darshan of Lord Narayan. And when he was asked by Narayan, what benediction do you desire? I have no desires. I only want to be the servant of your servants. I left my home, coming to this jungle, searching for some broken pieces of glass, and now I have found the divine diamond of your loving service. So anyone who approaches Krishna for whatever reason through the Lord's devotees and remains faithful to those instructions will become cleansed and gradually come to the platform of pure devotional service. They will gradually surrender to Krishna, which is the only solution to the problems of this world. But those who are intelligent, who understand these principles, which is the fulfillment of our human existence, they will, from the very beginning, follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Like the residents of Vrindavan, when we hear these beautiful pastimes, we understand what life is in unselfish, unmotivated loving service to the Lord. The residents of Brajbhumi simply exist for the pleasure of Krishna. They simply live to make Krishna happy. Their entirety of life is eternally immersed in assisting Sri Radharani, assisting all of the exalted intimate associates in helping make Krishna happy. When we hear these wonderful, wonderful stories as Guru Maharaj has given in Krishna book, we actually understand and we can aspire for the pure aspiration of devotional service. The Srimad Bhagavatam deals only with this subject matter. Unalloyed devotional service. So we should not waste time approaching God with material desires. Because even if He fulfills them, it will just create another problem. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told that beautiful story of the sadhu who was traveling through the forest with his bare feet, and he was so tired because he had such a long journey to travel. So he prayed to God, O Lord Sri Ramchandra, O Personality of Godhead, I am your devotee. Please make your devotee happy by giving me one horse. So just after saying like this, a horse was just walked right up to him. So he was very happy. So, now I have a horse. God is good. So he jumped up on the horse. And he started riding the horse. And he was just very, very happy with the fulfillment of his desire, thanking God. But the horse was pregnant. And after some time, the horse had a baby horse. So he couldn't leave the baby horse laying there. He had to get to his destination. So he carried the baby horse on his back as he was walking. And as he was walking, straining so terribly, he began to sing a beautiful prayer to the Lord. He said, Lord Ram, I prayed to you that I can ride on a horse, and now a horse is riding on me. So that's material life. You pray to God, He will give you, but then because of the nature of this world, you will not be happy. So when we approach God, we should approach for the real. Krishna explains, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. If we perform this process in the association under the guidance of qualified devotees, then Krishna promises that you will be given the highest treasure of myself. This is an infallible promise. If we simply stick to the association of Vaishnavas, follow the order of Guru Maharaj, and practice Krishna consciousness, we are guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead in due course of time. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He has given such a joyous process to fulfill the ultimate teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. By which we can always remember Krishna by hearing His glories and chanting His holy name. Srila Prabhupada explained, we should follow these principles of Lord Chaitanya as sukratinas, with piety. Which means no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. This brings us to the platform of basic piety. By following these principles, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the Sangam of Vaishnavas, very quickly we become purified and make spiritual advancement. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? We must find someone who can lift us. Yes. In this world, very few people actually have the sukritina, the sukritagi, to approach God, even if they're in distress, even if they're in suffering condition of poverty. Generally, they do not approach God. They do not approach the pure devotees of God because they do not have that preliminary piety. So therefore, it is so important to understand the causeless mercy of the great souls. They are giving what is called Agyata Sukriti. That means Sukriti you do not deserve. That is why Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Lord Chaitanya, wanted the devotees to travel throughout the entire world and give people the Sukriti by which they can approach the Lord. In so many cities we are having Ratha Yatra, where the beautiful deities of Lord Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra come into the streets. beautifully decorated with a wonderful, wonderful cart. And the devotees are singing and dancing. And they are distributing tens and thousands of offerings of prasad. And wonderful dramas. And so. Anyone who tastes the prasad once, even if they are the most sinful of sinners, anyone who once says, oh, this chanting is very nice. Anyone who sees the dancing and thinks, oh, very nice. Anyone who sees the cart and has any favorable impression, even if they're nothing but duskritinas, impious people with no credits, simply by that 1 second of appreciation for anything a devotee has done, they are given the opportunity to take to the path of pure devotional service. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam ampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabaha. What generally takes many, many births and deaths just to approach the path of bhakti, simply by appreciating the service of a Vaishnava or the holy name of the Lord, we are immediately, even with no qualifications, entitled to the entrance into the path of bhakti. When that person takes it, we do not know. It may be immediately, later in life, or in a future life. But we cannot calculate or comprehend the immense mercy that is given through all of the activities of preaching Krishna consciousness. When a devotee distributes Srila Prabhupada's books, if somebody, Prabhupada said, if they see the book, if they touch the book, what to speak if they read the book, with any favorable content in their heart, they are guaranteed the opportunity to come to the highest path of bhakti, which generally takes pious activities of millions of births to achieve. So this is all coming about by the mercy of the great souls. Without the mercy of the great souls, we have no chance, however pious or impious we are, of elevating ourselves to the loving service of Krishna. Is there any other question? Hari Om. So now Sri Krishna Ananda Prabhu will teach you the process by which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the world for the ultimate liberation.